Mr. Clapper, how do we start each year? This is the most important piece you'll ever hear. So each week we see something that is so good and so important that, what can I say? Again, those of you who don't have your own Sfarim, if you're in the WhatsApp group, last night the Dapim were posted. And we're up to Perek Shishi, which is a succession of three letters. And Mitzvah Hashem, the next few weeks we'll be doing each week one of the letters. And the first letter, which is the longest, so we'll have to be economical in which paragraphs we see inside, but it really is quite profound. And again, I know this, perhaps it sounds like a broken record, I prefer you view it as a consistent theme. I guess there's two ways of looking at something that repeats itself all the time. And that is that he is speaking specifically to yeshiva boys, of which we have one or two in the room. And I think it's relevant not only for all of us who are not yet zoch at the moment to be currently learning in yeshiva, but number one is we have children in Mirtz Hashem or grandchildren, so this is good advice for them. But second of all, as I think we've seen with every other previous chapter, the relevance to this, even for those of us at different stages of our life, I think is perhaps takes slight imagination, but only slight. It's really quite evident and very, very resonant how it relates to all of us. So let's begin. We'll read the opening, which is the presentation of the problem and the initial diagnosis. We'll read that straight, and then we'll start to skip around a little bit. So he's writing a letter to someone who obviously, you know, he's responding to someone, I should say, who wrote him a letter. Obviously, for privacy's sake, we don't see the original letter. But it's clear right away that the person who wrote to him is a student in yeshiva, and what the issue is. He writes to him, Yedidi Hayakar, Ma ma'od ani margish otcha et tzarcha ahalimud she'eno holech. And the student wrote to him and said, listen, my learning's not going. I'm not being successful. I'm frustrated in yeshiva. Kasha alchai rakez b'shir. It's hard for you to concentrate in shir. Hard for you to concentrate with your chavrusas. It's not going. He got the nekuda tashafel incha mechapes etzot. Eich latzet mimatzav zeh. How can I get out of this rut? I'm stuck and I'm in a rut. Again, this does happen. It can happen. Unfortunately, I can predict it will happen to even the best boys at various points in yeshiva. But it's not limited to people in yeshiva. People get stuck in ruts. Things are going well, and now they're not going as well. Says Ravolbi, second paragraph, right away, most important, in many ways, the most critical thing he says is, Yedidi, matzavim ke'ela mucharchim mikodem levarer ketzet higiu lekach. We have to treat the cause, not the symptom, right? This is the most common problem in life, and business, in every area of life. People look at the thing they can see, that's the symptom, but they don't necessarily treat the cause. Says Ravolbi, we can't just, make a party, make a chagiga, you'll feel better. That's not going to work. Maybe it'll work temporarily. The first thing we have to do, he says, is figure out what's the cause. What brought you to this? Once we understand the cause, then timatzeha etza memela, right? Then the treatment will present itself obviously. But you have to start with the cause, and then the deeper issue, and then we'll understand how to treat it. How about, no, let's think about this for a second. He says to the person, I'm asking you, right? What has caused this recent depression? Right? Think about it. Recently, you learned, avadata, halita aliz murta, right? A week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, you were happy. Pitom, keiv, atzvut, choser, gragchut, vihatzlacha. And all of a sudden now, right? We spoke about this last time also, the roller coaster, right? What happens? Keitzad atam asbir la'atzmacha tofazod. How do you understand what led you to this up and down? So he points out, we'll start in the third paragraph here, again, something that is obviously more unique to being in a yeshiva, but again, I think with only a little imagination, we understand how it is relates to all sorts of social settings. He points out that when you're in a yeshiva, where everyone is focused on doing the same thing, everyone's got the same chavrusas and the same shir, etc., etc., so memela, what happens? It's a high-pressure, performance-focused environment, right? The kids are trying to learn, trying to cover, trying to accomplish. And what happens through that, as he says in the second line, is your various kishronot, your various talents, your talents are revealed, how good of a learner you are, how good of a memory you have, how good of a reader you are, how analytic you are, all those things come out in the pressure cooker, so to speak, in the performance-based environment of yeshiva. But it doesn't just reveal your talents, it also reveals your friends' talents. And as he says in the last line of the third paragraph, very profound, obvious but profound, im gilui hakochot hachiyuvim shel kol yachid v'yachid, also mitgalim gam gvulot yicholto. Right, so on the one hand, you learn a lot about yourself. You can see all of your talents, all the things you may not even realize before you got to yeshiva. You're just kind of chilling, whether that was from elementary school to high school, or for a lot of kids, from high school to Beis Medrash, their year in Israel, et cetera, et cetera. Right? All of a sudden, you see all these talents that you had. But the second you get to see all the things that you're good at, what is memela, just built into the cake? What do you also see? The limitations of those talents. Right? It goes hand in hand. Right? Nothing is infinite. So the second you see what you're good at, you also see, ad kerei kach, I am good, but maybe not more than that. Right? There's already you start thinking, and then of course that what leads. Once you start doing that process with yourself, what does that lead to? The next paragraph, which is of course going to be the main thrust of the chapter, and this is the key to everything. Once you start looking at yourself and becoming aware of your own talents and mamela the limits to your talents, what else do you do? You look around. Everyone has a wandering eye. Istakel b'chavercha. You look at your friends. Oh, who's Zachron? This is the friend. He's got the unbelievable memory. He remembers everything. And you forget quickly. Oh, who tofes kalin yan b'kalud miyoy? This guy, he chaps the gemara, he gets the thing right away. And you, it's slow. Sometimes I don't even get it. Right? We just start looking. And again, this is obviously true in yeshiva, but it's not limited to yeshiva. It's limited. It could be referring to a shul or a community when you look around at other people and their own learning and their davening, you're jealous of them. But it's also true in every area of life. It could be in your business. It could be in various forms. Any social environment. Yeshiva is just a form of, is one social environment. But this is true, I think, in every social environment, especially an environment which is in any way performance-based. Right? All of a sudden, the salesman's better than you. Or just your friends in shul. You're all the same. You know, he's more successful. He makes more money. Right? He's better at business. He hops, you know, the laws change. He figured out, you know, the best way to work the tax angle and, you know, to work the angles better than me. Whatever environment you're in, if you have a wandering eye, it's only a matter of time before you become incredibly aware of not only the things you're good at, but the limits to those talents. And all of a sudden, your eyes wander to see other people. So, how do we deal with this? And that's really the answer. That's really the essence of the rest of the paragraph of the letter. So, in the middle of that fourth paragraph, he says one thing, which again is I think true about everybody. Again, it's not enough, and thank God that's why the letter is an end here. But it's a cliche, but I think it's worth saying because the cliche is true. In the middle of that fourth paragraph, he says, you know what? You have a benefit over that person. Kishtafast inyan acheha amel rav. Okay, it's true for you. It takes harder to get the Gemara. For you, it's harder to do X or Y, whatever that is. But nevertheless, you worked harder, ma'amik lahavino. Whereas your friend, the one who had it, just he got it right away. He's faster than you. He's smarter than you. He has better memory than you. He reads faster than you. I had a chavrusa once. Many of you know him. Some of you even had him as a rebbe. Some of the younger people in the room. He could read the Gemara faster than I could read the sports page. Well, just he could read Gemara faster than me. He could read. I couldn't read a novel as fast as he read a Gemara. He's mamish a genius. And he was the smartest person in terms of lumdus that I ever met. Now, there's a reason. He's like a Rosh Hashiva now. I'm saying, like, you know, the cream did rise to the crop. He's not like some guy toiling in anonymity. Baruch Hashem. He's being Mashbiyan Klal Yisrael. But, like, that was a hard chavrusa for me. You know, it's one thing. I always liked having a chavrusa who was a little bit better than me. That's my eitzah in general. I married someone a little better than me. Very important advice I give to Chazanim. Don't be so insecure. If she's smarter than you, great. Jump. A little better than me, a little smarter than me, a little firmer than me, all that. Fantastic. Marry up. Very important. But also, I tried the same thing with chavrusas. I have a murderer's row, a hall of fame list, the 6-7 chavrusas I had. Each one are names that most of you recognize. And each one is smarter than me. But most of them were, at least I was in the parsha. There was that one chavrusa, I'm telling you, I couldn't even read. He was already doing the chakira, I hadn't even got through the gemara. Right? So, it's hard. But on the other hand, he says, if you work at it, if you don't give up, you chazer, you did all these things, eventually you got it. What happens? Hincha margish yeshcha kinyan atzmi. Hamasha amalta. Simcha gedolim et'oret b'libcha. So number one, he points out, is every weakness is also a strength. It's all perspective. It's true, maybe you have to work harder than somebody else, but if you do work harder, if you put in the effort, your sense of satisfaction, your sense of accomplishment, as what they would say in yeshiva, your kinyan in it, is much greater than the person who could just fly through. Now again, you have people, this is important, and it's good for the Jews, that there are people, such people exist, who not only are gifted with all this, and they also work as hard or harder than anybody else. Right? It's lahavdil of alfei avdalos, but that's a few years ago, that's what, you know, all of the contemporaries were saying about Kobe Bryant. He wasn't just the most gifted, naturally in talent, he also was the hardest worker. I guess that's why he became a Hall of Famer. So you have people in the yeshiva who are not only the smartest, but they're also the biggest masvid. Okay, Yemir Tzah Hashem. In 20 years, they're going to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Okay, we need people like that. But often, I know this for sure in my life, often the people who are more talented, for obvious reasons, don't have to work as hard. And they can still get 100 on the test. They still get 95 on the test. And the people who are a notch or two below could also end up getting the same 95, or even a 92, or even an 88. But they had to work hard. So on the one hand, it's frustrating. He's acknowledging that. He's not denying it. Another hand, he's saying, yeah, you have to realize the sense of sense, the accomplishment of being able to work at something, not always in the immediate, but in the long term, keep that, again, it's not enough. If the letter would just end here, I don't know if I'd be, you know, I don't know if that'd be enough to lift someone up who was really, you know, jealous. But nevertheless, I think it's an important point for ourselves. And again, many of us may have children or grandchildren at various points who are exactly in this situation. And this is an important perspective to hopefully remind them of, even if it's insufficient, but I think it's still necessary. The feeling of accomplishment. Well, you know, the more effort you put into something, the more ownership you have over something, the more satisfaction you have. What comes easy, you know, is worth just that much. And what comes hard is worth even more. Let's continue. And now he points that, and now we transition, I think, to the main part of the piece. So first of all, you have to realize, now he's expanding it a little bit. And this is true for everything in life, not just our kids in yeshiva, not just us on our own Avodas Hashem. But again, I think this is true of us in every tchum of our life, our marriages, our professional lives, everything. What you need to accomplish, Hashem has given you. Right? What your friend needed to accomplish, he gave him. But you have everything you need. Tuchal levarach b'simcha rabbah chavoker. Every morning, with a great feeling of satisfaction, you should be able to daven, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melechalam, She'asa li kol tzarchi. You gave me everything that I need. Not everything that he needed, not everything that she needed. But you gave me everything that I need. Gam b'gashmius and gam b'ruchnius. Whether it's in our material life, our professional success, how much money I make, what position I got, my career, or in our learning, in our avodas Hashem, kol ma she'tzarch li. Anything that I need to fulfill my mission in life, Hashem has given it to me. Akolhu Yisbarach Natan Li. So what's the problem? If that's the case, what's the problem? The problem is obvious, and he spells it out very beautifully, bottom paragraph. Ulam Ata, and when I say you, I mean you and me, all of us. What's our problem? Yosmi Mash Ataro Marichet Kochosh Sichlacha Ataro Kishonot Chavercha. Instead of looking inward, and all the things I can do, all the talents I did receive, all my abilities that I have, I look at everybody else. Instead of focusing on me, I'm focused on the other guy, the other person. I'm looking at you. And it's not identical, but it's obviously closely related. Human deficiency. It's not like we're always looking at other people. It's when we look at other people, what do we always see? All of the good things in their life. All of their talents, all their successes, and when we look at ourselves, what do we always see? Just the problems, just the failures. Right? We all know, you look at, again, it could be in any tchum, you look at that person, he and his wife seem so happy, what a marriage. Me and my wife, it's not always easy, it doesn't always go. Could be, or it could be that you don't know half of what's going on in their life. You just see the good parts, you have no idea what else is going on. You just see that it looks like he has a nice fancy car, or just looks like he has a... You have no idea. You only see the good parts. I'm not saying they aren't there, but you only focus on that. Everyone's got, right? There's an old, I don't know if it's a cliche, it's a story, but it, you know, I'm true. But it's true whether it ever happened or not, but it's a truism, right? If you gather 10 people in a room, you say, everyone, put your pekala, put your problems in the middle. And now and afterwards we have a draft. Everyone can take whichever one they want. Most people would end up taking their own back. Once you see the pekala that everyone else is carrying. But in general in life, we go around just focusing on the bad things to me and all the good things that everybody else has. Even though if we would somehow step out of ourselves rationally, we know that we have plenty of good things also, but we don't focus on them. And mistum, it must be that the other people also have their tzaras and their frustrations and their challenges. Maybe for them it's in business and for you it's with your kids. Maybe for you it's with your kids and then for you it's with money. And for them it's with their marriage and with you it's with your parents. Everyone's got something. But it's just somehow a built-in Yetzer Hara. We focus on what we don't have and what they do have. This is, and if you see yourself in this, don't feel bad. This is everybody. This is how we are as human beings. Now, that doesn't mean we should settle and be satisfied with that. But we can acknowledge it. And hopefully, therefore, once we acknowledge it, we can try to get better. Let's continue. Turn over to the next page. Lamed Zayin, if you have it, at least in my version. The next paragraph. Now, after speaking and describing everything, now it's time to name the monster. Hargasha zu nikret kina. Now you know what we call the poison of life, kina, jealousy. And you should know, he says, Tehei zos nechmascha, yididi, ki kol tsair sovel mikina, al achas kama vakama ben yeshiva. And I will add that every adult is usually just one big teenager. Right? This is unquestionably a challenge for teenagers, for adolescents, because they're insecure, they're not fully formed, they're not fully with who they are. And again, you put them in a yeshiva where everyone's, you know, in any given yeshiva, there's a certain level of similarity, similar background, etc. Now they're all in a somewhat competitive, they're being graded, scores, tests, right? It's just inevitable that this is going to breed a certain level of jealousy. But again, as unfortunately I've seen in many areas of my life, you know, not a small percentage of adults still think they're in high school and still carry around the same pettiness and insecurities, and there's a cool clique. I remember once I had this, I don't want to be too specific about where I was, but I remember, like, it first hit me. This is going back already a while ago, but, like, I couldn't understand what was going on in a certain social circle. Then I realized they're still in high school. They're 35 years old, but the head hasn't left high school. They're still the cool kids and the not cool kids, and it's like, hello? It was stupid even then. But at least we can be excused. We were 17, we were 18. You're 35 years old. Get a life. But some people have arrested development. So he's talking to a yeshiva guy. But, you know, I think we could see a lot of this in ourselves or the people that we know. There are people who are jealous. Instead of looking at themselves and being happy with what they have, they look around at everybody else. Skip to the next paragraph. Hamakir es atzmo. But as someone who really is not insecure, who knows who he is, who understands his abilities, his talents, he knows what Hashem gave him, matana gadolahi, is incredible, he has great abilities. If a person realizes, I have talents, I have abilities, I have things that I'm good at, I have things that I can do. It could be in my intellectual abilities, right, my IQ, but as most of us know, as we get older, what's more important than IQ is EQ. Right? Our emotional intelligence, our ability to get along with people, to read people, to understand. Right? People have also, there's millions kinds of, you don't have to go to graduate school to study Gardner or whoever, to know, A, that there's different kinds of intelligence. Even in the IQ, there's different kinds of intelligence. And there's EQ, which is often more a predictor of who's going to be successful in life anyway. Right? As the old saying goes, right, all the guys who got A's and B's are working for the guys who got C's. Right? That's often the case. Again, not always. But it's not uncommon either. Let's just be enough to be a cliche. Not uncommon at all. So you have to realize whatever your talents were at any stage of your life or now, if you just focus on that, Adam Zeh Eino Sovel Od Mikina, then you're not worried about, then you're not jealous. Doesn't mean you should think, I'm the smartest guy. You know, look at the mirror. Hashem loves me. I'm the smartest. You know, I'm the best. Once you start from within, you know who you are, you're true to yourself, then you're in a total, you're secure. Then you can say, oh yeah, Taga. You know, that guy, you know, he's really good at business. You know, he's great at that. You know, he really knows how to work the market He's a great davener. He's a great learner. I love, you know, when he does daf yom. You could admire other people. You could acknowledge other people. But you're not going to be insecure. Excuse me. You're not going to be jealous unless you were first insecure. Right? There's a symptom and a cause. If you know yourself, you're true to yourself, and you appreciate the gifts that Hashem gave you, and you realize Hashem gave me everything that I need, then you won't be jealous. It all starts from there. Let's skip down, do a little bit more, and then we'll stop. Two paragraphs below. Hitponein efo yididi. Im lo akina hamakanenet amuk v'libcha, ki shev yedcha l'yidei ha'yir shvatzar v'hanochachi. So he says, again, he's speaking to a real person. He says, I'm making a claim. Think about it. Tell me if you think I'm right. Do you think it's true that your depression is coming from jealousy? And if you feel that that's the case, and because eini mesupak, I have no doubt that what I'm telling you is true, Now you have to work on yourself. Right? The work is not in how fast you're learning, how good your davening is, how good the business is, how good the merit. Right? That's level two. The level one is working on yourself. Lahakir asher chanancha barucha. Recognize who you are, what Hashem has given you. Your milos, your kishronos, your incredible talents and abilities. Ulhakir here is so important. This is like underlined three times. Ein malchus nogas b'chaverta. Which is a rabbinic way of saying, nothing that anybody else has will take away from what you have. Right? The fact that this guy is more successful is irrelevant to how much you're doing. You need enough to be able to live your life. What's the difference if this guy has more or less? It's completely irrelevant if you just think rationally for a moment. This guy is great at learning. Okay, what's that got to do with you? But if you're good at learning, what's the difference that he's great? Who cares? What he has is not, right? I learned something very, you know, many years ago. I think I heard this first from my father, but it's something the way my father lives. Even some people who were in the same profession as him, my father was in business for many years, right? He would say, it's great, he's so successful. Did he take any of it from me? He didn't put his hand in my pocket. Why should I be jealous of him? Why should I be resentful of him? Kol kavod to him, shkoyach. Hopefully he's a good baal tzedakah, right? So that's exactly this phrase here. Ein malchus nogas b'chavrata. His learning, his avodas Hashem, the fact that he has a good marriage is any way affects your marriage. The fact that his kids are doing well any way affects your kids. The fact that he has a good relationship with his kids anyway, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Ein malchus b'chavrata nogas b'chavrata. It's not going to affect you. Don't worry about them. The wandering eye is the worst. Chelkecha, again, he says b'torah, but it's chelkecha in everything. It's irrelevant. What you can do, what Hashem is destined for you, is in no way impacted, for good or for bad, by what anyone else is doing. It's that simple, four words. They have theirs, the good and the bad, and you have yours, the good and the bad, and they're not connected one to another. Really, very, very fascinating. Let's skip, we'll just read the last thing we'll do inside is the last paragraph on this page. He's paraphrasing, he quotes, but we don't have time to do it. He quotes an Orach Chaim HaKadosh on the story of Cain. As he puts it, the story of Cain and Hevel is the story of jealousy in the Torah, right? Cain gets jealous, kills Hevel. And in the Orach Chaim's explanation of that story, he has a great line there where he says, Ki HaKedusha Eina Tzricha L'Acherim. That's a quote from the Orach Chaim. HaKedusha Eina Tzricha L'Acherim. Whereas if you have something good, and we all do, that's the whole point. It's not dependent. It doesn't need other people to prop it up. That light that can shine in your neshama does not need anyone else to put in a plug to turn on that light. Hakadusha ain't a tzricha l'acherim. So he says here in the last paragraph, developing this idea of the Orach Chaim, which he loves. Kama gedolim dvarim elu. Hakadusha ain't a tzricha l'acherim. Hitbonein kama milos kadushas chen chabara. See how much Hashem gave you. And if you'll understand that, Tedav tavin ki ad kama shabori yisbarach natan l'cha seichel v'das, ein chad tzrichim l'acherim l'askam asam l'cha, she'ata baltri. You don't need someone to tell you you're good. The truth is, even though we may or may not need it, Hashem gave us that. That's what's called a mommy. Right? That's what we have parents for. Right? And kids have grandparents for. Right, it's nice to have unconditional love, and that is part of our human development. Right, it's very, very for people who didn't get that when they were kids. Either they didn't have a parent, Rachmana Litzlan, or they didn't have loving parents, Rachmana Litzlan. That can really arrest development, because at a certain young age, we do need that. But nevertheless, ultimately, as he's been saying many times, it's not about them; it's about you. You don't need your friends, your coworkers, your colleagues to tell them you're a good boy. If you are dependent on them, that level of insecurity is going to be with you your whole life, insecure, depressed, and jealous. Eincha toli b'datam. You don't need them. Jealousy is what he calls the rekev atzamos. It will rot the bones. It will destroy you from the inside, in other words. If you can't get past your jealousy, that's it. Rather, he says, Hashem wanted different people to do different things. Even in Torah, Hashem didn't make everyone with the same brain, the same brilliance, the same memory, and the same... Because Hashem wants different things from different people. Kol echad b'gisha shelo, with their talents, with their abilities, with their efforts. And if you remember that, kulam yachad yizku Torah shlema. So I'll just read you, I'll paraphrase, I'll tell you, remind you, the famous. He ends with the famous story, we don't have to see it inside. Very, very famous story, it's beautiful, good way to capture it, and it's certainly something if you want to even mention at the Shabbos table, I think it's something really to think about. Even the story itself is a very powerful thing to share. The famous student of Rav Yisrael Salanter, of Naftali Amsterdam. So in his younger years, he was saying to his Rebbe, You know, I have so many ability, I have so many shifot. I would love to be great, but what could I do? He says, if I just had the brain of the Shagas Aryeh, who's known to be such a genius, and I just had the tzidkus of the Baal Yesod Vashar Shavoda, who's known to be such a tzaddik, and if I just had your midos of Yisrael Salanter, oh, if I had his brain, his neshama, your midos, oh, then I could be amazing. To which Rabbi Yisrael Salanter very famously responded to him, Naftali, b'moach shalcha, u'balev shalcha, u'amido shalcha. You don't need my brain, you don't need his neshama, you just need your brain, your neshama, and your midos to become the best you. If again, it sounds like, you know, cliche or pop psychology, but every now and then the pop psychologists get it right. It starts from the inside. If you focus on who I am, being happy with who I am, appreciating the gifts Hashem gave me, instead of wandering eye, we won't be insecure. If we won't be insecure, we won't be jealous. If we won't be jealous, we won't be depressed. Halavai.